Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Love that music, Jeremy. Very 80s vibe.
Trying to spice up Tuesdays.
Not sure that's the right way to spice up a Tuesday, but... that's good. That's what we need. Thank you, Korean baseball. Or Koreans. What sport was that? Was it Korean baseball? That's right.
Oh, I just had flashbacks. It's like March... Or was it like June 10th, 2020? It's like... 11 p.m. watching Korean baseball, trying
and
to be
hyped.
We were
all watching it.
Trying to be hyped. Yeah, this
Live
is awesome.
Sports. We
I love
you.
It. This is so cool. Korean baseball.
Put it in my veins.
Hook it up. Inject it into the veins.
Oh, boy.
Yikes.
Don't let
We've come
don't,
a long
I,
way.
I don't want to relive 2020.
No.
I just.
Give me no name UConn and no name Purdue any day.
Absolutely. We've come a long way. 2020 was. For those of you listening,
that was a masterpiece of dog shit.
It certainly was. 2020 was that. It was interesting. Just to give you, before we get into this next topic, just to give you a little insight on our industry, like we work in media, right?
Yep.
So I work on TV for a long time, and you have news, weather, and sports. Imagine one day waking up and there's no longer weather. Sounds crazy, right?
Yes.
Well, it happened to us. Yep. We woke up one day and there were no sports.
That was so crazy.
What are we going to do? There is no sports anywhere. There's not even, like, they wouldn't even let seven-year-olds go out and play baseball out of the park. You had nothing to cover. There was nothing going on. Because we were all in lockdown, and nobody knows what to do, and there's no sporting events. There's nothing to cover. There's nothing to watch. What are you watching ESPN? what are we doing? We figured it out, but it was one of the most... challenging and strange experiences of my life, and I don't have any idea how we got through it, but we did. Now, I'm just giving you that perspective on that. I understand that there was a lot of other terribly difficult things that everybody had to go through that time. Just wanted to give you perspective on how just weird and bizarre that time was for us in this profession to wake up one morning and your profession is gone.
Yeah, it was nuts. Like, I still always remember March 12th, 2020, and truly just understanding... never typing in the word canceled more in my life. Like, just writing out, this has been canceled.
For the first week, we just did up updates every day on this league is canceled. This league is canceled indefinitely.
I always have flashbacks to that time because of March Madness.
Yeah.
Like, this time of the year always kind of just makes me go back to that because I feel like it just, that and the Jazz, those two things just always make me think of that time because... It took away March Madness. It took away so many things. But, things it's in 4 years. And now it feels like finally, too, television audience for sports is fully recovered from that. Because there was like a 1 to 2, maybe even last year, 3 year, where it felt like people were not comfortable enough to just kind of let their guard down a little bit and enjoy sports again because of all the stresses in the world and sports and just the financial dynamics. I mean, everything in the world that was going on these past 4 years, it feels like finally we're, I don't want to say normal because...
Not yet, but we're close.
You just feel like people are kind of like, okay, I got some time. I'm going to carve out. I want to get some entertainment to watch some sports again. And that was not happening as much to the level that we once knew with television and just sports consumption before. And, you know, digital's grown a lot, but still, like, just the TV viewer in those games, it's pretty cool to see these high ratings for these games nowadays.
And the future is so exciting.
Yes.
And especially in this sports market, if you're a sports fan here in Utah, big things lie ahead, and something really big could be happening sooner than you think. We're going to get to that right now, but first, for an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith Dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug. Hey, Doug.
I was waiting for that. I was like, are they going to do the, hey, Doug,
coming in? I have to. I got to fill in for Alex.
Yes,
He's
have
gone.
To.
Somebody's got
to
do it. Do you want to do it?
Hey, Doug.
Okay, Mitch tried. You get the next one, okay?
Iconic commercial.
We got one more. We got more Doug Smith read. You get to do the Hey, Doug, because I'm not doing it justice. Excitement, as I mentioned. The Arizona Coyotes and a sale to Ryan Smith and the team coming to Salt Lake is more real than ever. That's the cut.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is a developing story, and this could end up being one of the biggest sports stories in this community in this decade. NHL hockey coming to Utah is more real than ever, and it gets more real by the day. The Arizona Coyotes don't have a stadium. They don't have an arena to play in. They've been playing at 4,000-seat Mullet Arena. Is there a better name for a hockey arena?
There's not.
In the world than Mullet Arena? That's just amazing. But they're barely selling that if selling it out at all. 4,000 seats. It's not good enough for the NHL. And this has been going on for a while. And the Arizona Coyotes organization has been pretty inept over the last 20-plus years. They've always struggled. They've never been a factor in the NHL. They've rarely made the playoffs. I think it's time for them to move on and find a new owner and find a new place to play. And it sounds like everybody down in Arizona feels that way too. They're trying to win this land auction and build a huge development, which would be home to an incredible rendering of an arena that they've published. If you want to see it, go to Arizona Coyotes social media. They put out this rendering and this video. It is just unreal. It looks like something from another planet or another century.
To their credit, it does look amazing.
It looks like hockey with the Jetsons.
And I thought to myself when I first saw it, I was like, well, that's going to probably go by the wayside. We're not going to get them into the Utah. How things change quickly, though.
Oh, again, it was a rendering. It's not real. And that's exactly the case. That is not reality. And politicians and developers in Arizona know that. So the mayor of Scottsdale heard news of this and saw that the Coyotes were pitching this, and he quickly put out an editorial and said exactly why this will never happen, and he would not support it.
Just emphatically comes out and takes a stand. Like, you know, politicians usually, they're like, what angle are you really taking? Like, it just makes it clear as day. You are not coming, Coyotes. You're not taking that land.
Slammed the organization, calling them a rookie developer, and said the plans are unwelcome. They don't want it there. The infrastructure is not there for it. Water is a big, big, big thing. Scottsdale feels like their water would go to support it, even though it's technically across the street on the border of Phoenix. So the political forces reacting to the latest Coyotes plan is just another setback. And there was a Coyotes executive who was asked, if they can't make this happen, what is going to be the consequence? And he says, well, he agrees that the franchise is going to have to relocate. Well, this is obviously not going to happen. And it's not going to happen anytime soon. And the land auction is not even until late July, June, if that. And so if they actually win it, which this is not a guarantee because there's a lot of other developers that want it who have a lot more support politically in the area.
Probably not being called rookie developers.
Right. that's not going to happen. They're out of time. They're just out of time. Gary Bettman, while publicly has been saying all the right things about the Coyotes, apparently privately they've had a deadline and they're not going to meet it. They're going to have to sell. And that's why news broke Friday from our sister station in Phoenix, at a Bonneville station, Arizona Sports, reported that Alex Marullo is taking offers to buy the team, both in Arizona and out. I'm only aware of one ownership group who has publicly stated interest in buying that specific franchise or being open to it, and a specific ownership group who has had already conversations. And it's public knowledge that they've had conversations with the commissioner and the deputy commissioner.
And who might that be, JJ?
That would be our very own Ryan Smith and SCG.
Yeah.
So here we are. The Coyotes really have no choice but to sell, and the buyer is ready to go here in Utah. Put two and two together. And this needs to happen quickly. This can't wait. This can't wait another year. It can't wait 2 years. This can't wait until late summer because schedules have to be made. I mean, this
because we're talking hockey in 2024.
Absolutely.
2024-2025 season.
The next season.
Right.
Like the regular season ends April 17th. And then the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. The Coyotes are not going to make it. They've been eliminated. But October is when the next season starts. Not even camp, not even training camp, but the season starts in October. That is 6 months away. Yeah. And they still have, you think the NHL wants to do this again next year? Having a franchise playing in a 4,000-seat arena that's not filling up? And to have to do this song and dance again? No. Gary Bettman wants this problem to go away. And it looks like this is happening. In fact, Dan Bickley made an appearance today on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. He was on Jake and Ben. And here's 2.5 minutes of him explaining this land situation and what the Coyotes are looking at.
Going into this whole process, there is a piece of land that is going to auction at the end of June. The Coyotes are going to bid for it, but it is also about the primest acreage you're going to find in Arizona. It's kind of land near the McDowell Mountains. There's not a lot of this left. So this is not typical in situations like this because there are many, many ruthless, very savvy developers in Arizona. Housing is sort of our number one industry. So this land is very, very, very valuable, and it's got the attention of a lot of people. And that has to be set as a backdrop because even though the Coyotes claim and believe that most of this plot of land has already been zoned for their purposes for an arena, there are many zoning issues that can arise, especially if there are people looking to dissent, if there are people politically motivated to dissent. And so I think what we saw from the mayor of Scottsdale yesterday was some of the latter, where the mayor in very, very strong terms basically said the Coyotes are not welcome in Scottsdale. And this whole terrible journey that the Coyotes have been on for the better part of my entire life in Arizona occurred way back in the day when they won a referendum for an arena in Scottsdale, Arizona, and the city didn't trust the developer, said, prove it to us that you've got the money, and they headed out to Westgate on the west side, and it has been a picture of dysfunction ever since. So I think what you're seeing now is probably the beginning of some of those dissenting voices that may or may not derail the project, and not in terms of the Coyotes' ability to buy the land, but in terms of creating enough delays. If they can create obstacles, the NHL is about out of patience with this hockey team, as you guys well know, and so the clock is their biggest foe at the moment. People I talked to at the end of last week fully anticipated this sort of stuff to happen. And it might actually force the sale of our hockey team to your community. So that's basically where we're at. Just, you know, the political shenanigans have begun around this piece of land that's going up for auction. That's basically what's happened here.
Force the sale. That's exactly what's going to happen. Is they're going to have no choice because this land idea is dead on arrival because the politicians there are not going to support it. And then they're back in the same problem. If you don't have the support of the politicians, then it goes to a vote of the public. And they've already tried that, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
The Coyotes are done in Arizona. They need a new home. They need a new owner. And guess who is ready to go?
Ryan Smith.
Ryan Smith is ready. Utah is ready. The legislature has already approved the funding. In fact, it has the backing of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. How often does the church publicly endorse this kind of a move with a pro sports franchise and a development project in downtown?
Yeah, they publicly backed this in February. This feels like it's destined to happen. Yes. You got Ryan Smith on our social, quote tweeting our social media feeds on KSL Sports, asking the public, what would you name an NHL team? I mean, do you make that move if you're years and years away from that? No, this feels like it's ready to go.
Ryan Smith is very, very intelligent. That was calculated. It was smart. It came on the Monday after the weekend when all this news broke that Marullo has talked to other people about selling the club for $1 billion. I think I've already heard. I don't know if Ryan has said it publicly. I think he confirmed it on Pat McAfee that he has offered $1 billion for our franchise, for an NHL franchise, and we obviously know which one that is. And so the offer has probably been on the table, and it's probably being considered right now. And if you're the Coyotes owner, Alex Marullo, you can put this headache away, and you can sell this franchise right now for a massive profit. I think Forbes values that franchise at just $500 million, and he'd be getting $1 billion for it.
I was going to say, the billion kind of feels low in a way for pro sports.
In today's world, yes.
Yeah, it feels like a good deal for everyone involved.
Yes. Yes, it's a good deal for Marullo because he makes money. It's a good deal for Ryan Smith because he gets the NHL franchise he wants. It's good for Utah because we get that franchise and we get to have a second major pro sports franchise of the Big Four. No disrespect to any other pro franchises in here. I'm talking about the Big Four, the NHL, the NBA, the NFL, and the NBA. We are proud of all the other other sports franchises we have here. There's a greater significance with those four leagues that resonates, and it's a higher deal, it's a bigger deal, it's bigger money, it's bigger everything. And it would be coming here to Utah. Now, the only people that lose here are hockey fans in Arizona, but even they seem tired of this. And potentially down the road, Arizona could get an expansion team down the line once they're able to get their ducks in a row. And somebody might, like Marullo, could take that billion and start building towards getting that done in the future and getting ready for an expansion team to come.
And maybe take on the Coyotes naming rights, kind of like the Cleveland Browns did once upon a time.
Absolutely. And I think thanks for bringing that up. I think the fact that Ryan Smith is asking the public what they want to name this club tells you everything you need to know about his intentions, is he does not intend to keep the Coyotes name, logo. I think that would all stay in Arizona. He wants to build a brand new hockey identity here in Utah and come up with a new name, new branding, new uniforms, new everything. The one thing he doesn't want to get new is I think they do have a great GM. I think they got a good young roster and they got a stash of draft picks. And now we start talking about, okay, who are the Arizona Coyotes? What is this team? What can they do? How quickly could they win here? What's their personnel? Who are their players? Who's their coach? Start getting familiar with what this is.
Got a couple weeks to watch the close of the NHL
season. Do some research.
Get to know these Coyotes, man. I know I'll be tuning in. I'm fascinated.
We showed Coyotes highlights on KSL Sports Live on Sunday.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who's our new team? Who are these guys?
Absolutely. I hear you. Get ahead of it.
So we're going to do it again this week.
Yeah.
We're probably going to start showing Coyotes highlights for the next 2 weeks while they're still playing. Their last game was on the 17th.
As you should.
That is 8 days away. So 8 days away.
Pretty, again, going back to how we opened this segment, a pretty wild turn of events these last 4 years from your job being
no
taken.
Sports to we're getting NHL hockey and we might get MLB baseball by 2030? Really?
This market's booming, man. Business is good.
Business is good.
We're a solid sports fan.
We've grown up, Utah. Embrace it. It's awesome. We're ready for it.
Welcome to the show.
Bring it on. Bring the Coyotes or whatever we're going to name them to Utah. Let's get this started. But it's not official.
Yeah.
Obviously, an agreement has to be made on a sale. An agreement has to be made with the NHL to relocate the franchise. The owners of the NHL have to agree to that. They have to have a vote, I believe, to relocate a franchise. There's a lot of things that have to be done. But an announcement of a sale could be coming very, very soon. And all signs point to that franchise being sold to Ryan Smith and being moved to Utah. Get ready for NHL hockey, Utah fans, here in 2024-2025. Starting in October, you may have an NHL hockey team in this market. And that is so exciting. Can't wait for it. All right, Fernie, we did that already. We gave our love to Doug Smith Dealerships. I will tell you that we have to do another Ticket Tuesday, right? Here we go. It's Ticket Tuesday. Be caller number 12 at 801-575-ZONE. You can win a pair of tickets to the Utah Jazz versus Houston Rockets game at Delta Center on April 11th. Be caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663 to win a pair of tickets to a Jazz game against the Rockets on April 11th. An early Big 12 Hoops look ahead next on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is what you get. You're listening to JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars.
Don't touch that dial!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JJ and Alex rolls on. 432 along the Wasatch Front. Jeremiah Jensen. Mitch Harper in for Alex Carey. Be caller 12 right now at 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. And you'll be assigned one of the top 26 golfers or the field in the Uinta Golf Major Giveaway from Uinta Golf. If your player wins, you win your player's brand of driver. And there ain't no cheap drivers being swung in the PGA Tour or LIV Tour. So that's going to be nice. Speaking of nice, some, well, breaking news. Caitlin Clark wins the John R. Wooden Women's Player of the Year Award. Congratulations to the GOAT. One of the GOATs, Caitlin Clark. So no surprise there. Caitlin Clark is the National Player of the Year in Women's College Basketball. Speaking of basketball, we get right into this segment here. The season just ended last night. UConn, what a run. Who's beating UConn? Who's stopping that train? I mean, other than their players leaving, which will probably happen, NBA or otherwise. That's just how things are in today's hoops. But in this era of NIL and transfer portal, for UConn to be this dominant in back-to-back years, Mitch, is quite an accomplishment. Danny Hurley is, I don't think any question right now, you have to consider him the best coach in the country to be able to do what he's done. They average 21 points per game margin of victory in the last two NCAA tournaments. The closest anybody got in the final score during those two tournaments was 13 points. They never lost a game, or they never had a game they won by less than 13 points over the last 2 years in the tournament. What a remarkable run. So everybody's chasing UConn now. But the Big 12 certainly has some teams that are capable of doing that. Thought to be, at least based on the numbers and the net rankings, which turned out to be like, eh. Big 12 was considered the best hoops conference in the country, and they got 9 teams in the NCAA tournament. So based on the stats, the numbers, it didn't mean that they had the best team in the country. It just meant it was the best conference from top to bottom. And now this conference is adding 4 new teams next year. Arizona, Colorado, who were both in the NCAA tournament, Arizona State, and Utah. This conference is getting better next year and was already great. So right now, Mitch, you have already put together your too early Big 12 basketball rankings for next year. Let's take a look at it. Share with our listeners how you came to your process here and what you got.
Well, you know, getting ready to host JJ and Alex, I knew I had to get the way too early because I know this show
That's
loves the way too early list.
We love way too early.
But you bring it up with the Big 12 first off. It's going to be 16 teams next year. And the issue that football has in the Big 12 of who's the top dog, that's not applicable here in the Big 12. You've got about 6 top dogs, 5 top dogs. I mean, putting this list together and putting a power ranking of these teams, you almost just marvel and go, this is what the SEC is in football, where these top 4 teams, maybe top 5, could all be top 8, top 10 good maybe next year. A lot can change in basketball, as you noted. But right now, this 16-team Big 12 is going to be outstanding. And I can't wait to see it and see Utah in the mix with BYU. Getting 2 games of BYU and Utah, January and February and March, whatever it may be, that's going to be awesome.
Yes.
Off the charts, going to be so good. But the number one team that I have right now for the Big 12 is Iowa State. I think Iowa State's going to be the best team in this league going into next season because they've got the best defense in college basketball. They just thumped Houston. I know Houston was banged up in that Big 12 tournament, and how much the Big 12 tournaments or conference tournaments in general matter. That's in the eye of the beholder. But I think Iowa State, the moves they've made in the transfer portal already, they are going to be outstanding. They might be national title good next year. I'd put them maybe top three nationally. And then following them, I got Houston as the top two. BYU, I've got at six. BYU has so much returning experience next season, potentially, you know, barring any roster changes. I got the Cougs at six. And then I've got Utah at number 13. A lot of questions, I think, still with Utah's roster. How do you replace Brandon Carlson? But those are some of the key notable spots on this way too early Big 12 power ranking.
Let me note some others, because I do like your rankings. There's maybe two or three that I would say I can make a case for, but I don't disagree overall with what you've put together here. I think you go through this, and this is really, I mean, this gives you an idea of just how good this conference is, because Iowa State was a two seed, and some argued they should have been a one. They were that good last year, and they got a lot of guys coming back. They are stacked. You're absolutely right. I the more I think about it, Iowa State at one is very, very, very strong. Now, I don't think Houston's going to take too much of a step back.
No. Oh, no.
There's just some variables here. LJ Cryer's coming back. Mm-hmm. He just announced that. And now they're waiting on a decision from Jamal Shedd, who was the Big 12 Player of the Year. If they get that back and they roll it back with Kelvin Sampson, I mean, another juggernaut, a one seed. This is how it is in this conference. And we keep going on down. Kansas, look, by their standards, they had a down year. They finished, what, tied for sixth in the Big 12?
Yeah, 10-8. Most losses ever in the league for Kansas.
Who would have thought that BYU and Kansas would have had the same Big 12 conference record last year, but it happened. Yeah. Big Kansas is not going to be down for long. Bill Self will retool. They'll be back. I think they noticed that they had some recruiting issues. I think they're going to clear that up. They have a massive NIL war chest. They're going to be back. So Kansas at three makes a lot of sense. And then you go down the list, and here's another juggernaut, another blue blood, Arizona. They were a two seed in the NCAA tournament. So we're going through, I mean, Kansas on most years is a one or a two seed. Iowa State was a two seed last year, Houston a one, and Arizona a two. That top four alone is just wow.
Yeah.
Those are some of the biggest programs in college basketball right now.
And do you wonder, you know, we talked about college basketball and some of the issues they face with, you know, personnel recognition, fans connecting with these teams. Do you feel like these brands, at least here in Salt Lake, can this get college basketball maybe a little more fired up in this market? Just, we're reeling off these names. They're going to be in this town, Salt Lake and Provo. Kansas is going to be here at least once in this market next year.
Right.
I mean, the basketball teams and the coaches that are going to roll through here, this is going to be amazing stuff.
We're getting a double dose of the Big 12 next year.
It's going to be awesome. I mean, this league is so good next year. And look, a lot can change. And I think the one catch to all of it is, you know, the SEC and Big Ten still have the most resources, and coaches want the most, the biggest war chest and cash flow possible. But man, this league and the history in this league, as far as these individual programs, it's going to be such a good league.
Yeah. And I didn't even get to Baylor at five.
Yeah.
They've won a national championship recently, right? And so as long as Scott Drew is still there, they're going to be a national factor. What were they in the tournament this year? A three seed?
Three
seed. Okay, so we're at five in the conference, and we're at three seeds. Then you get to BYU as a five. That's next on the list. You have BYU at six. Colorado was a great tournament team that won a game.
Two games. The first four in round of 64.
I forget the first four. Sorry, first four. Technically, they won two games in this tournament. Yeah. But Colorado's got a lot of promise. That's a good team joining this league. It's seven. Colorado at seven. This is a good league. So, and you continue, you rattle off the names, some of that. Cincinnati, Kansas State, Texas Tech, who's losing Pops Isaac. That could be a step back, but Texas Tech was really good last year. You got them at 10. That's the one team I looked at when you put this together. I was like, Tech at 10. Feel like they're going to be better next year. They're going to find a way to be better because I like their coach, and they're basketball hungry there, and they're going to find a way to bring in people, because people don't know this, but Texas Tech also has a NIL war chest.
Yeah, they do.
And they can go shopping, and I think they will. So they'll have guys land there. TCU is kind of one of those, is that team where, you know, watch them play Utah State in the NCAA tournament. They're good athletes, good team, but they just don't have one of those go-to guys. So we'll see about TCU and West Virginia. It's a once proud program, is a little down right now. They're getting a new coach. But Utah, let's get to BYU. Let's focus on BYU and Utah now. You have them at 13. I don't disagree with you right now. And we'll see what Davon Smith decides to stay or not. We've been hearing rumors. We're not going to report anything here. We're just saying there's rumors that Davon Smith might be shopping around in the transfer portal, and not hasn't entered the transfer portal yet, but he may do so, that there could be some shopping around there. If they lose Davon Smith and Brandon Carlson, there's your two most best scorers, dynamic players, right? Mm-hmm. How do you replace that? Big, giant question mark. Who's going to take over? Who's going to be the guy to get the points? If Utah's going to be able to compete in the Big 12, they've got to add a significant amount of talent. And that seems to have been an issue at Utah for the last 3 years, is where's the recruiting here? Other than Davon Smith, what players are they brought into that program that have had a huge impact in the recruiting? And I'm not seeing it, and I'm concerned. Who are they going to roll back here? What players are they going to bring in? We haven't heard anything, no one from the transfer portal from other places, other than this this young man with Utah ties named Keanu Dawes, who's a 6'9 player from Rice. Okay, freshman year, right? Yeah. But, you know, you followed him. I don't know that. Is he a difference maker? Not yet. If he is, then good for him. That's great. But I feel like they need to bring in more juice than that.
Well, and I think also, you know, Utah, I think their roster in like the Pac-12 the past couple years, this would have been a team that could, you know, you could say, you know, top five, top six of the Pac-12. Just the depth in the Big 12 puts them close to the bottom. Yeah. I think that's the big question. I mean, they're seniors next year. Project, it's all subject to change with the portal. Gabe Madsen, Ben Carlson, Hunter Erickson, Lawson Lovering, Davon Smith, you know, redshirt junior, if he runs it back next year. Kaba Keita, like, he's got to be someone that takes a huge leap forward in his development. And then, you know, newcomers, you bring in Jackson Johnson from Alta. But again, this is in college basketball, we're learning. You've got to be old, and especially in the Big 12, like, learning about the Big 12 this past year, the veteran teams win in this league.
Yeah.
And even the hot shot freshmen's, you know, they don't get it done. You got to be a veteran team in this conference. And that's what helps BYU right now. And I think that's why it's so critical for BYU to hope and pray that Kentucky doesn't actually make that call to Mark Pope.
Let's dig into that.
Let's do it.
What if Kentucky can't get the guys that are probably on the top of their list, the big names? They're going to go after, they might even go talk to Danny Hurley. I don't know. He said last night, he made fun of that, basically.
He did.
But behind the scenes, there might be some communication. You know what I mean? It's Kentucky.
You can get eight figures.
It's Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's one of the premier basketball programs in the country. It's historically one of the top three all-time great programs in the sport. So every coach is probably going to listen. Every coach is going to think about it. And so Kentucky probably thinks they can just start going down the list of the best coaches in the country and start offering them the job and trying to figure out how to get the buyout done. But if for some reason they go through that list and it's not working out and they can't figure out the buyouts or the guys say no, it's not long before you get to Mark Pope sitting right there. And Mark Pope is Kentucky alumni. He's on one of the most fan favorite teams of all time in that program, the 1996 team, under Rick Pitino with Antoine Walker. I mean, that was an all-time Kentucky team. He's on that team. He goes to Lexington. He gets a standing ovation.
He was a captain on that team.
Yes. I know there's a lot of people there that would support him, and including his former coach, who still has influence there, despite not being there. There's certainly political support for him there, but he's never won an NCAA tournament game. He doesn't have the resume of these other coaches. It would be a tough sale when you have so much expectations of that program if you don't go win the press conference. If Kentucky has the courage to hire a coach not about winning the press conference and about who's the best fit for us moving forward, a relatively young, hungry coach who is an alumni here, who knows what it means here, who would be totally 100% invested here and on being here forever, then Mark Pope's that guy. If, Mitch, it gets to that point and Mark Pope were to go to Kentucky, what does this do to BYU?
It would be a tough blow for BYU because that coaching pool, as everyone knows, it's pretty shallow for BYU when it comes to finding LDS prospects. Now, BYU has, oddly enough, in recent years, kind of made it clear that it is not required to be LDS to be the head coach at any sport at BYU. But when it comes to football and men's basketball, they tend to want to always have a LDS coach because from a couple of standpoints of they want to have coaches that embrace having athletes, they're going to say, hey, I'm gone for 2 years. I'm going to serve a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Oh, when I come back from that mission, I might want to get married. and you might have a roster of 6-7 guys that are married. It's just a different dynamic at BYU, and having a coach that, you know, supports that and understands that dynamic, the dating culture. But with that said, I do think that there is a target in that pool of candidates that's not LDS that, to me, would be a candidate if Mark Pope did get the Kentucky job. The first call I think you'd make is Mark Madsen, who's at Cal. But the problem with him, JJ, is that he just signed an extension to 2030, and BYU doesn't strike me as a place like Kentucky. It says, we don't care about your buyout. We're paying it. We're going to get you no matter what.
BYU cares very much about your buyout. That's not what they're going to do.
They'll keep coaches on their staff to avoid a buyout.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want to deal with the buyout world. Yep. But Mark Madsen, I think, would be outstanding. The one knock on Mark Madsen, if it did get to this, is that he doesn't have BYU experience. And look, if you're a coach, you can succeed anywhere. But I bring that up because you look at football and men's basketball. The coaches that BYU's hired, say like the last 50 years, the best ones have always been guys that have had previous coaching experience at BYU. The ones that don't tend to have a very steep learning curve, and they learn the hard way. Look at Kalani. Look at Gary Crowan. Steve Cleveland early on in his tenure. It is BYU is so unique that you almost need institutional knowledge of the red tape, the hierarchy, like, oh, there's an advancement VP that's the boss to the AD in athletics. Like, nuances like that matter at a place like BYU that are so foreign to any other program. So I feel like having BYU experience matters. And that's why I'd look at Cody Feger, who's not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I think someone who's got experience with Dave Rose, with Mark Pope, to me, he'd make a lot of sense. And then after him, I'd also say Chris Burgess. You 1A, 1B with those two, if you want to get into the assistant coach pool. Those guys, I think, would be outstanding hires, I feel, for BYU that could lead the program. I think Chris Burgess, you know, he's been a guy that he was critical in landing Matt Harms out of the transfer portal over Kentucky when Matt Harms was the number one superstar portal recruit. And him and Mark Pope were vital in landing him. He's got kind of a high level ability to recruit, and that's why he was such a coveted assistant coach hire for Utah and what he can do on the recruiting trail. So those three, I think, would be the top three to me. And then you get into the world of maybe a Barrett Perry, who was a name that was in the coaching carousel for BYU when they were looking to replace Dave Rose. And he's someone that's previously coached at Portland State, currently now at UNLV. And then after that, you'd say this is a name that probably isn't known to many BYU fans or any listener, but like Casey Beard, who's on Kelvin Sampson's staff at Houston. He's a member of the church. That would be kind of my top five that you would go to, because you're not going to go to just a random non-LDS coach that has no BYU experience or no BYU ties or no ties to the church. You're not going to go to that well. You will make an exception if you're BYU, I would think, if they've got strong connections to BYU. They've got one coach in their athletic department that's not LDS. That's cross country. That's a different animal. If you had to go down to get, you know, men's basketball, but they have shown a willingness to do that. And I think Cody Feger being so close to the program, and he would navigate it well at BYU if he did get that chance. But that would be my top five. If Mark Pope gets poached, those would be the five coaches that I feel like BYU and Tom Holmoe has to have ready to make a move, because I feel like if more coaches like Nate Oates at Alabama, who said, I'm not interested in any job that opens, if that keeps happening, Mark Pope could be on line one for that Mitch Barnhart at Kentucky.
And if it gets to that point, you mentioned it, whether member of the church or not, it's a unique job, and you have to understand how and why it's unique in order to be successful.
Yeah.
And there's a very short list of coaches, I think, that would even want to take on that challenge of the uniqueness of BYU. And you mentioned quite a few of them there. So interesting thing to follow. My opinion, kind of wrap this up, I think Kentucky finds one of those big names and finds a way to get him the buyout. And I think Coach Pope would have to wait for his next opportunity to coach Kentucky, which is, that job doesn't come open often. But if I were Kentucky, I would actually hire Mark Pope.
I think so too.
I think they need something new and fresh. And I don't think going and trying to win the press conference by bringing in and buying out this coach and spending all that money makes any sense when you bring in somebody who understands Kentucky basketball, was part of their great tradition, and will pour their heart and soul into that program, Mark Pope seems like the perfect fit to me.
And just to kind of, before we get to break, I mean, Calipari, that was one of the knocks on him. He was always about NBA. Like, do you care about Kentucky? Like, that fan base wanted a Kentucky man. And I think Pope, they might say at first, what? They hired the BYU coach? This is Kentucky. But you kind of dig in, like, that guy will win you over. Like, you know, he's got a dynamic personality, and his relentless theme that he brings up quite often, that ties back to Patino, like in his days at Kentucky. It would make a lot of sense, but I think you're right. I think they feel like they've got to go get a Billy Donovan, a Hurley, to appease that fan base that practically ran out Calipari.
Uh-huh.
Their voice was strong enough to run out an all-timer.
That's not an easy job to take. It requires certain, just kind of like BYU, there's some uniqueness about Kentucky too. But Mark Pope checks all the boxes there. We will continue to follow that story as it develops. Join JJ and Alex Wednesday. That's tomorrow. Yep, we'll be there from 3 to 6 at the Dish Bros, 8034 South State in Midvale. We got a Utah Spring football update next on JJ and Alex 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Com.
And now your Ute Spring football update on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Time for a Utah spring football update here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. JJ and Alex, Jeremiah Jensen, Mitch Harper with you. Nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by our good friends at Hercules Credit Union. All right. Our spring football update today comes from a list, because we all love lists. All right. But this, trust me, Utah fan, you're going to love this. I think all of you listening will enjoy this because it's interesting. Kyle Whittingham is landing on a list here. There's always these lists, right? ESPN recently had a list of the top coaches in the country. The ESPN list, Kyle Whittingham landed at number 3.
In the country?
In the country. Agree or disagree with that?
I disagree. I think it's a little too high.
Who's your top 5?
I'd probably go... That's where it gets tough. You know, I'd say Kirby Smart.
We agree on that. I agree with that.
Number 2, I'd say... I think Kalen DeBoer is in the top 3. He wins everywhere. I mean, that guy is a... This is Todd. Alabama got an absolute star. So I'd put him in the top 3.
So you just nailed the top 2 on ESPN's list.
And then I would probably go Brian Kelly. I'd probably put Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly didn't even make the top 10 on ESPN's list.
Hmm.
Brian Kelly was also receiving votes, so he's probably like 11 on their list. Lincoln Riley didn't either.
I'm just trying to think if I feel like I'm missing someone key, but the thing is that I guess my one knock on Witt would be he hasn't won a playoff game. He didn't win a Rose Bowl. The biggest win is in the Sugar Bowl. Like, he's won 2 Pac-12 titles, sure, yes, but that did not result in playoff appearances. I feel like that's kind of the standard when you're in a power conference. To be in the top 3, there's got to be playoff wins. There's got to be playoff appearances. DeBoer's already got a playoff win. I think that's where my knock on Witt to say he's top 3. I don't want to just give top 3 because he's been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, because then should we say Kirk Ferentz is the best coach in the land? And we all, like, I probably
wouldn't say that,
yeah,
right?
But and Witt's totally better than Ferentz, don't get me wrong. But that'd be my knock on Witt. He's definitely top 10, no question. He's the best coach in the Big 12.
Yes, he is. They have him number 3, Dabo Swinney 4, Mike Norvell 5, Dan Lanning 6, Steve Sarkisian 7, Lane Kiffin 8, Lance Leipold of Kansas 9, and Ryan Day of Ohio State 10 on ESPN's top list.
Dan Lanning would probably be 3rd for me. I think Lanning...
I'm a big fan of Lanning, too.
Lanning just feels like he embodies what a college coach should be today as far as NIL, and he's young. He gets up for the big games. I mean, Dan Lanning's big time. I mean, he dropped the ball against Washington last year a couple times, but I think they are going to be a massive hit in the Big Ten. Oregon is.
On three does have Kyle Whittingham as the number one coach in the Big 12, followed by Lance Leipold at number two, Mike Gundy, three, Chris Klieman, four, of Kansas State, Gus Malzahn, five, UCF, Willie Fritz, the new coach at Houston's number six. That's interesting. Sonny Dykes, number seven, TCU. Matt Campbell, number eight, Iowa State. Number nine, Joey McGuire, Texas Tech. Number 10, Neil Brown, West Virginia. Number 11, Dave Aranda, Baylor. Number 12, Deion Sanders. Coach Prime is number 12 on their list. You have to get to 13 before you get to Kalani Sitake, a BYU. I would argue that he should be a little higher on this list, to be honest. Scott Satterfield is 14. Brent Brennan, Arizona, 15. I think he's going to surprise some people how good of a coach he is. And Kenny Dillingham of Arizona State, number 16. I think he's better at than 16. But that is your on three top 16 from 1 to 16 Big 12 football coach rankings with Kyle Whittingham, number one. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, the coach, Tim Lacombe, will join us. We'll talk about the Jazz. We'll also throw some of this BYU stuff his way. Nobody's more qualified to answer the question about who could take over more than Tim Lacombe. He's up next on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.